What I love about your writing, and you mentioned it when you were reading, is that they're full of a cast of characters. You absolutely love writing characters. And this particular novel, Hearts and Minds, is quite different from the way that you approach the other ones in terms of point of view, because every single character in it, main character, gets their own sort of chapter and section in the book. How did you approach writing this book in
Oh, it's
that
an
way?
immense
It must have been really
difficulty.
difficult. Well, when I read it, I thought,
Yeah.
how did you put this together?
Well, firstly, this took 7 years for me to write, and I think anyone who reads it, I hope anyone who reads it will see why, because it has a sort of density to it, which is a greater density than anything I've done before. But how do you do it? Well, it's like doing, I don't know how many members of the female audience here have ever done a French plait, where you divide your hair into, I think it's four strands. It's not unlike that, except you've got six, or in fact, even more than that, because there's a whole subsidiary cast of characters. I don't know how I do it. I carry characters on from one book to the next,
Yes, that's the
and
other thing that I find quite interesting about your writing is that if you read through your novels, you see characters reappearing. Why
yes.
can't you let them go?
Well, because I love them. I love them, you know, I love the good ones and I also love the bad ones. I particularly love the bad ones because, in a way, I suppose you could almost say they're a sort of bad side of myself that's allowed out to play. But they're also made up of just so much that I see. I mean, I love people, I'm fascinated in people, and I'm always very sad when writers say that they're sort of more interested in ideas or in language, or because of course, you know, I'm very interested in that as well. But ultimately, it seems to me that the essence of the novel is to tell stories about people that readers care about,
Well,
and
it
that's.
seems to me that your approach really suited this particular novel because you very ambitiously took on London, which
A
massive
bit of
bit,
London.
but there was that sense of the cast of London, the cast of characters really coming from contemporary London when I was reading it. Were you aware, you're very aware of wanting to write something that represented London now?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the, well, there's sort of two or three writers who really, really influenced me. One of them is Balzac, who is the person who sort of absolutely electrified me when I came across him about 20 years ago. And he very much did this. He had also had a vast career. He took Paris as his theme. The other, obviously, is Dickens. Again, you know, he was writing a big character. He didn't link characters from book to book, but you somehow feel that they could have met each other. And the third, I suppose, is Trollope. Although he's a bit more sort of limited as far as his social interest goes. But it seems to me that, you know, London and the world you live in is so incredibly rich and intense and fascinating. I'm just amazed that more people aren't writing books like this. I'm quite glad, to be honest. But you know, it seems, you know, it's just I've got this sort of whole universe inside it.
Yeah, I just felt that sort of almost exhilarating ambition when I was reading it as well. I mean, how do you go about getting inside the head of a 22-year-old Zimbabwean taxi driver?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where this character Joe came from. I mean, I've got an uncle who I've met once in my life who grew up, he's a white southern Zimbabwean. So I know a bit about the country. And obviously, I also know some, you know, people from different parts of Africa. But Joe really came out of quite a sort of deep part of me. I think he's quite based in his essential self on my own father, who was a very brave, he's now dead, he sadly died before reading this book, but he was somebody who never hesitated to fight physically with people he thought were doing things that were wrong. I mean, he was exactly the sort of person you would want on your side if you were being beaten up on the street, because he would just weigh in, he'd not have any thought for his own safety. And he was also someone who, with my mother, was someone who fought against apartheid when I was a little baby in South Africa, which was why they had to leave. And he and my mother helped smuggle political people who were in great danger from the regime out of South Africa. And eventually they had to more or less smuggle themselves as well. And he spent the next, I think it was 20 years, on a police list of someone who'd be instantly arrested if he ever came back, which was quite dangerous for him because he worked for the United Nations. And he had to go back sometimes. So it was always a bit touch and go.
Do you think that that sort of part of your biography gives you this kind of interest in the social in your novels? Because they all sort of themed around social issues. Well, they're not campaigning novels, but they're dealing with the real world in the sense that they're not.
I suppose, I mean, I'd hate to think that I'm some sort of jury soapbox person, you know, standing, you know, one or two people sort of have objected to this book and saying that it's all terribly PC. I'm not at all PC myself. I would probably express views that would horrify half this room and other half, you know, I don't toe any particular line. But I did grow up very much, because of my father and mother working for the UN, tremendously aware of all the other people and all the other countries in the world. And
because that really comes through in Hearts and Minds, this idea of a subliminal London that we don't see, that we sort of almost live on top of, which you're trying to seem to me to pull out and peel away the lid from it to show us what's underneath, or how we exist because of the immigration.
Yes, well, I mean, it is the hot political topic of our time, is it not? You know, and you know, I don't myself know what I think about it, because I can see both the good side of it and the bad side of it, and the bad side not just for the, you know, people, the indigenous Britons who feel they've lost their jobs, but the bad side for the people who have been, you know, conned into coming here, or who are being incredibly exploited and deceived and disappointed. So yes, I mean, all that stuff is of course in the background, but what I most wanted to do was to tell a story about these people and how they all connect up.
And I wanted to just take you back quickly before I get some questions from the audience to a book that you wrote called The Vicious Circle, which was a sort of, it was a portrait of a milieu of people. And I think something quite interesting happened with that before it was published. And I wanted you to just tell us the story.
Yes, well, this is a sort of companion novel to this one. It's now out of print. You can still get it on ebooks. And as students of writing, perhaps you should all get it for various reasons, one of which is that it's about what life as a novelist can be like and what it's like to be reviewed. But to my horror, when this book was in proof stage, it attracted this letter from a very, very old and unpleasant ex-boyfriend of mine from, I think it was then 15 years before, who's now literary editor of the Evening Standard, who claimed that he had been libeled as its villain, and that this character could only be himself for various various reasons, such as he had a baby-belling oven. I think it was one of them. I think the other was his eyebrows met in the middle. It was priceless.
Are you telling me that disclaimer, that this book bears no resemblance to anyone living or dead, absolutely does not protect you in any way?
No, it doesn't protect you at all. And
libels
are really horrible, because if there is one iota of similarity between your character and the person who's claiming they've been libeled, you're in deep trouble. Libel law is unique in that you have to prove your innocence rather than, as is the case with any other charge, the other way about. And Malcolm Bradbury, who had apparently the same problem with the novel, told me that he was had up for one of his campus books, and his lawyer said any academic who walks around with two biros in his breast pocket could claim to be your character. You're stuffed. I was very lucky in a sense, because you know, there was such a lot of scandal about this. People were sort of jumping up and down to go on into the courtroom and say, yes, this appalling character could only be David Sexton because he's so unpleasant, which was very dangerous for me. But because there was quite a lot of press excitement, in the end, you know, it was sold to another. It was dropped by Penguin to their eternal shame, and it was picked up by another publisher, Fourth Estate. And it was that that actually enabled me to move house at just the point when we were bursting with two small children. And also, I suppose, in a way, it was a kind of a relaunch for me, all totally unintended. It was absolutely ghastly. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
No. I'm quite... I'm, yeah. horrified by the fact that the word fiction, in a sense, to a certain degree, doesn't excuse, doesn't allow you to.
No, and in fact, if you write any novel about the media or indeed academia, you're in danger, because those two fields, although they claim to be great supporters of freedom of speech, are in fact the biggest suppressors of it.
And the most, yeah. To reach for the lawyers, yeah.
Yeah.
Does anybody in the audience have some questions for Amanda, or a question for Amanda? Yeah.
You said 7 years you were working on the book? Was that consistently 7 years, or were you kind of going away and coming back to it?
Well, I was going away and coming back to hospital because I got very, very sick about a year into writing it, and in fact one of the reasons why I know so much about this sort of hidden world is I had about 3 years when I was just too ill and too tired to do all the kinds of things that you do normally as a kind of working mum. So I couldn't look after my children, I couldn't even drive for a lot of the time, I couldn't do my own laundry, you know, all those things. I had to pay other people to do it, and of course the people who will pick up the pieces most willingly are immigrants, and I found this great sort of flood of people coming through my door, and of course, you know, lying on the sofa, I talked to them, and they all had these remarkable stories. You know, some of them had been through some of the things that I put in the book, others had been on the fringes of it. I mean, there's a girl in this book, the most sort of distressing bits is this 15-year-old Ukrainian girl who's been trafficked into prostitution. I had one girl who did work for me for a while who was Ukrainian, who was illegal, and she absolutely knew people to whom this had happened. And it was just horrifying how easy it was to get sucked in. Mm. So although these people genuinely are made up, what they're based on is truth.
Mm. One more? Hang on.
Oh, I wish. No, I mean, I have to be organised to a degree because I've got kids and they're still, you know, although they're teenagers, they're still very dependent. So during term times, it's fairly kind of disciplined that, you know, I start writing at 9:30 in the morning and I stop at, you know, 4:30, and then I do a bit of cooking and then I go back. During holidays, it's just impossible. And I think, you know, if you're female and you're able to work at home, which of course a lot of people aren't, you can get a sort of structure. But I think really, you know, if you want to write, it has to be the most powerful thing in your life, because it just won't get done otherwise. Mm. And you know, whether that means getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, which I've also done to write before everybody else is awake, or writing until midnight when you come back from the office, you somehow have to find that sort of passion and drive. Every novel ever written, including the most awful ones, are product of intense effort and, you know, this just determination you're going to get it done. And that's why I hate ever being, as a critic, being nasty about people, because I know just how much pain has gone into it, you know, and everybody does have a story or several stories they want to tell. It's how you can get better doing this.
Thank you very much, Amanda.